This is Dr. Gino Cassieri, and I'm going to be teaching the course, The Doctrine of Salvation, for Andersonville Baptist Seminary. I want to praise you, and may God bless you for taking this course. We're going to be looking at the eight essential doctrines that make up the doctrine of salvation. But before we begin our study in God's Word, let's take a moment to ask God's blessing and direction in this study. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for the students that are now taking this course, the doctrine of salvation. We pray that their lives would be blessed and their knowledge of the Word of God would be greatly increased. Father, I just pray that you'd bless each individual student taking this course in a special way. Father, be with us now as we undertake this very important study in your Word on the doctrine of salvation. Father, I just pray, give us teachable hearts and spirits to receive thy holy Word. Father, now we pray that you'd bless our time together in your Word, and we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. As we begin the course on the doctrine of salvation, I just want to mention some things that you should have for the course. The course outline is very important, and you should have that in front of you as we go along. That'll be our roadmap to this course. We'll probably stick very close to this course outline. And also you'll see that as you go along, I encourage you to take good notes, because there will be in a final examination and some discussion questions. Also, I've included in your packet for this course some recommended reading to fill out your study in the doctrine of salvation and encourage you to get some of these books. Not all of them, a little bit at a time, build up your library over the years, amen. But I've given you this list because I believe these books will help you in your study on the doctrine of salvation and other doctrines in the Bible. First of all, we'll begin as we begin. I want to mention this, of course, is lesson one, and we're on tape number one on side one. First, we're going to look at the introduction, as it says in your course outline. Many Christians neglect to study the doctrines that define New Testament salvation, and as a result, they really miss the rich blessings that understanding them brings. You see, salvation has many different aspects. No single term or principle can adequately define it. To show believers the extent of what they have in Christ, the Holy Spirit put no less than 8 separate doctrines in the Bible to explain New Testament salvation. And each one of these doctrines describe it from a slightly different perspective. A good understanding of these doctrines is essential for a Christian to become mature in the faith and truly appreciate what God has done for him. Every Christian should be fully acquainted with the terms justification, regeneration, adoption, imputation, sanctification, reconciliation, propitiation, and redemption. Yet many have only a shallow knowledge of these doctrines, if any knowledge of them at all. However, if the believer will study the scriptures as the Lord commands him to, and it is a command for you and I as Christians to study the Word of God, we have a direct command in the second epistle to Timothy in chapter number 2. In verse number 15, and by the way, the King James Bible is the only English translation that says study, because you know the devil doesn't want you to study the Word of God, because then you will not be so easily deceived by him, amen? Again, the King James Bible is an essential for this course. Amen. You must have a King James Bible as we go through this course and look at the different verses that talk about the doctrine of salvation. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 commands the Christian to study, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why so many Christians get tripped up by the cults, because they've been disobedient to God's command to study His Word, amen? That's why they're ashamed, amen? That's why they get tricked and tripped up, amen? And can't really explain what they believe, amen? It's all in the Word of God, but we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, amen? And if you'll study the scriptures as the Lord commands, the Holy Spirit will reveal these truths to the believer. Looking in the Gospel of John in chapter number 14 with me, John chapter 14, and we'll look in verse 26. Of John chapter 14. And this is Jesus speaking now to the disciples, and he's also speaking to us now. But the Comforter. And we see Jesus identifies who the Comforter is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall, here it comes, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But in order for the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truths to you and I, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be putting the Word of God in us for the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal anything to us. Amen. Furthermore, the primary reason God has given man the Bible was so he could learn doctrine. Again, let me say that. The primary reason God has given man the Bible was so he could learn doctrine. Look in 2 Timothy, in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy with me, if you would, please. In verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God wants the sinner to learn that without Christ, he is lost and headed for hell. And he wants the Christian to learn what happened to him when he received Christ. Apart from the scriptures, no one could know either. In several places in the Bible, the Holy Spirit pleads with believers to not be ignorant of doctrine. For example, look in Romans chapter 11 with me. Romans chapter 11 in verse number 25. Paul writes to the believers at Rome, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And what Paul did not want the believers at Rome to be ignorant about was the doctrine that concerned Israel, that God was not through with Israel. Because Israel had rejected, amen, God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, and then God the Holy Spirit in the early part of the book of Acts, now the Gentile is got in on the blessing, amen. But he's trying to tell the believers at Rome that God's not through with the Jews yet, with the nation of Israel. It's only for a time. Israel will only be blind until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So it's not over for Israel yet. And that's a doctrine that Paul did not want the believers at Rome to be ignorant of. Look at in 1 Corinthians with me now, in chapter number 12, in verse number 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Again, another doctrine that Paul did not want the believers of the church at Corinth to be ignorant about was the spiritual gifts. And as we continue to go in to the spiritual gifts, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians starts to describe them and name them, amen. Because Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant of it. He wants to understand them. These are just a few places in the scripture that the Holy Spirit pleads with the believer not to be ignorant of doctrine. And the doctrines that are the most profitable for any believer to learn are these eight on salvation. Once you understand them, once you get a hold of them and really understand them, then you will be better prepared to understand some others that are more difficult. Now, the Bible alone, and when I say the Bible, the Word of God, I mean the King James Bible, should be the Christian's final authority for this matter and every other matter for that fact. So a believer should never let any other reading material, Christian or otherwise, stand between him and his personal study of the Word of God. You see, personal study, my friend, is the only way that you can know for certain what the Bible says and determine if any teaching or doctrine that you may be confronted with is scriptural. Even this course here, you need to check out what I say. We're going to actually be looking at many verses that deal with salvation, but because this is our source document, the Word of God, the King James Bible. You see, many believers, because of failure to do this, are confused about many aspects of Christianity. And what happens, they often fall away from the truth. Every Christian should have the same attitude towards the Bible as the Bereans, who, after hearing the Apostle Paul's words, were told in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts in verses 11 to 12 about that they search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Since the Holy Spirit commended these people for checking the words of an apostle against the Bible, how much more should believers today check everything they read and hear with the Scripture also? Amen. Now the student will find the names of these eight doctrines concerning salvation are not terms Christians generally used to describe salvation. They usually describe, the Christian usually describes what God has done for them by saying their sins have been forgiven, remitted, or pardoned. Though all three of these words can be found in the Bible in some form, they are not words the Holy Spirit places emphasis on. The above words that I've just mentioned, forgiven, remitted, and pardoned, are not even mentioned in the books of John, Romans, and Galatians, except forgiven is quoted in Romans 4:7. And these are the books which tell us the most about salvation. Of course, salvation includes forgiveness and remissions of sins, but it goes much beyond the meaning of these terms. It contains eternal life, a standing of righteousness, perfect holiness, a new birth, a new nature, and a host of other virtues, all purchased by the death and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who personally receive Christ are freely given these blessings. And it's only fitting that each believer, each of you students listening to these tapes, have a good understanding of what they are. Also, my dear believer, dear student, please understand that these doctrines that we're going to discuss and look at speak of blessings and virtues you possess now, right now, present tense. They do not refer to something the Lord will give you in the future or to rewards you can earn by obedience. They became fully effective in you the moment, the instant you received Jesus Christ. It's your union with Christ that makes them your own. Dear child of God, please do not cheat yourselves by neglecting these precious doctrines. God has rich blessings for those who invest in the study of them. The time it will take you to search the Scriptures and learn them will be nothing compared to the rich dividends that you will reap for the rest of your life. Again, I can't emphasize this enough, student, Christian. Know these doctrines. Meditate on them until they become familiar friends. Look in Timothy chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 15, Paul the Apostle exhorts his younger brother in Christ, Timothy. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So we need to meditate on them until we understand them, till we know them backwards and forwards, amen, till they become familiar friends. You know, we use that old cliche, I know it like the back of your hand, amen. Study them. Study them so you can give a good answer to a skeptic. Look with me in the first epistle of Peter in chapter 3. In verse number 15, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always. See, we're to be ready always. Why? To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to study these doctrines concerning salvation so that we can give an answer to those that are skeptic, that don't believe. Amen. Also, not only are we to meditate and study them, but memorize. Memorize them so you can help others understand. Look it with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know, that whole Psalm 119 is concerning the Word of God. And we read in Psalm 119 and verse number 11, the psalmist wrote, thy Word have I hid in mine heart. And he's talking about memorizing. That's what you do when you memorize the Word of God. You hide it in your heart. And he tells us, the psalmist, why he has hid the Word of God in his heart. He says, thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. So it's important to memorize and understand and meditate and study and become familiar with the doctrines of salvation. And then also we want to rely on their truths so you can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Once you really grasp what God has given you and realize what all salvation contains, no one will be able to talk you out of your security in Jesus Christ. No matter how many good words and fair speeches someone may use to try to convince you otherwise, you will know that you have passed from death unto life and will dwell with your Savior for eternity. Second Corinthians chapter 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's what salvation is. There's not words that can describe it. the gift of salvation, so freely given through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let all praise, honor, and glory go to God, the Father, His Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's a bit of an introduction to the course that you're taking on the doctrine of salvation. Now what we're going to turn our attention to is the first doctrine, and that's regeneration. Regeneration. An RE is a prefix which means basically do it again. And regeneration means to be given or imparted life. Again, regeneration means to be given or imparted life. Concerning the Christian, it refers to the life and nature he receives when he is born again and made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word regeneration is found only two times in the Bible. The first time is in Matthew 19:28. Let's turn to Matthew 19, verse 28. Matthew 19:28 with me, if you would. Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now here in Matthew 19:28, it's not speaking of a new birth of the Christian, but of the restoration of the earth at the second coming of Christ. Now, regeneration is mentioned the second time in the book of Titus, Titus chapter number 3, in verse number 5, Titus 3:5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How did he save us? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we here see that the second time in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, where we find regeneration, it means the actual renewing and rebirth of the believer. Amen. Here we have the new birth is spoken about. Amen. So, now that we've defined regeneration and we've looked at where it's found, the word regeneration is found in the scriptures, now we want to look at the need for regeneration. The need for regeneration. Now, since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, which is described in Genesis chapters 2 to 3, every person except Jesus Christ has been born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I want us to look at some verses concerning this. Let's first turn to Romans chapter number 5 with me. Romans chapter number 5. In a Romans chapter number 5, I want to pick up in verse number 12. Again, we're looking at the need for regeneration. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now we know that the one man spoken about here in Romans chapter 5 verse 12 is none other than Adam. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see that, as the Bible tells us, the wages of sin is death. As a result of the fall of Adam in the garden, sin entered into the world, and as a result of sin, death. That's why we die physically. Death is passed upon all of us. We inherited the sin nature. Death is a result of Adam's fall. All have sinned. None of us can escape it. There was only one sinless man born on this earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 13 now of Romans 5. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. See that? Accountability it's talking about. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And we're going to look at, in detail, imputation. Amen? But what we see here is, that's why the law was given. To show you and I that we were sinners. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. The figure of him to come, of course, is Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Again, it's talking about salvation. It's a free gift. For if through the offense of one, and that's what it's describing what Adam did, he offended God, his offense, many be dead. Because of his transgression, because of his offense against God, all of us are dead. Much more the grace of God in the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Amen to that, amen. Because of God's grace, we have the gift of the grace of God to save us, to take away that offense. And not as it was by one that sinned, so was the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offense unto justification. See, what Adam did brought condemnation upon all of us. And what God offers us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're given justification. And we're going to look at that, another doctrine of salvation in great detail. We're going to be made just or right in the eyes of God because of what Christ did for you and I. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, again, death reigns because of the offense of Adam, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. See, by receiving God's grace, it overcomes, it does away with that reign of death. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, came upon all men to condemnation. Again, because of what Adam did, judgment came. We're all condemned sinners. Even so, by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. In spite of that, what Christ did, amen, if you receive it, makes you righteous. And it's free. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And again, that word many means all. Can mean all. By Adam being disobedient to God, all of us were made sinners. But by Christ being obedient, what was he obedient to? The death of the cross. All are made righteous because of that. Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That was the purpose of the law. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen to that, amen. Grace can abound more than the law. Verse 21. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin brings death. Grace brings life through Jesus Christ. Again, we're looking at this need for regeneration. Look at also with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verses 21 to 22. For since by man came death by man, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Again, we're all dead in Adam because of Adam's sin. We're dead in trespasses and sin, for as in Adam all died. There's no escaping. That's the bad news. The good news is, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You by receiving Jesus Christ by faith, amen, you're made alive. Anyone. And everyone that comes to Christ will be made alive, will be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, will be regenerated. What a blessing. Amen. Look at also in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And that he died for all. Excuse me, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. For the love of Christ compelleth us, constrain us, amen. Christ's love makes us alive because we were dead. Looking in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Again, we're looking at the need for regeneration, and these verses are showing that because of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2 and 3, that we all, except every person except Jesus Christ, has been born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 1 and following, in you hath he quickened. Now quickened means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we see that we needed to be made alive or quickened because our condition, because of the fall of Adam, is we were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past, in other words, before we were regenerated, before we were made alive, ye walked how? You didn't walk according to God's way, no. You walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you did the things of this world. You walked according to the world and how the world operated, not how God operated, amen. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. You followed Satan, not God. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we had a spirit of disobedience, amen. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. All we were concerned about was satisfying our flesh. That's all. We didn't have a spirit that needed to be satisfied because it was dead in trespasses and sin. But God, listen to this. You know, we were children of wrath, but God. I love the but gods in the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even as we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with grace, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit where? To sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. To correct this condition, every individual must be born a second time unto righteousness in life. That's what Jesus confronted Nicodemus with over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He told Nicodemus, eyeball to eyeball, didn't pull any punches. He said, John chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the first birth, the physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in to the kingdom of God. Why? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh can't enter the kingdom of God, amen. And that which is of the Spirit is spirit. So as we begin to look at the need for regeneration, we see since, again, the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, every person except Jesus Christ has been born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, and needs, every individual needs that second birth, needs to be born again, be born a second time spiritually under righteousness in life in Jesus Christ. Well, this ends lesson number one, side one of tape one. We'll continue our discussion on regeneration in lesson number two.